I'd like to read a verse from the Luke's Gospel in chapter 14 and verse 7. Luke's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 7. And he spoke a parable to those that were invited, remarking how they chose out the first places, saying to them, when thou art invited by anyone to a wedding, do not lay thyself down in the first place at table, lest perhaps a more honourable than thou be invited by him. And he who invited thee and him come and say to thee, give place to this man. And then thou shalt begin with shame to take the last place. I like to concentrate on the expression, give place to this man. Jesus said these words. He had been invited when he was here on earth to a Pharisee's house for a meal on the Sabbath on Saturday. I think we get three different instances in Luke's Gospel when Jesus was asked to go to a Pharisee's house. Now, the Pharisees didn't like him. You could find numerous instances in the Gospels when the Pharisees were against Jesus. They tried to trip him up. They didn't like what he said. It didn't tie in with their understanding of the Torah, of the law of Moses, and how it should be applied. But Jesus, in his wonderful grace, he came into this world and he took his place amongst people, people like you and like me. And when he got invited to the Pharisee's house, he went. And if you read earlier on in this chapter, you'll find that when Jesus was there was a man there who was ill, and Jesus healed the man. We learn something about this man. Give place to this man. We learn something about this man by realizing what Jesus did early in the chapter. He came in grace to where people were. He came in and out among people. He ate and drank with people, just like we can eat and drink with people. But he was also here in compassion. He was here to help people. People like you, people like me, people like other folk in the world. Here was a man who was ill, and Jesus helped him. And he said, turning around to all the people, said, look, if one of your animals had fallen into a well, wouldn't you have pulled them out on the Sabbath? He challenged them. And the word of Jesus is challenging. He's here in compassion, but he was here to make a challenge to people because he was seeking to reach their hearts and reach their consciences and secure them for the praise and blessing of God. And that's my message today. Give place to this. In this world, and many people who seek a place, and some people are given a place, an important place, whether in the world of politics or the military world, or the world of sport or entertainment, people are given prominent place. But the message in the gospel is, give place to this man. And you'll find that if you read through the Acts of the Apostles, when they went out and preached the gospel, who did they preach about? They preached about Jesus. They prayed, in effect, give place to this man. When the gospel was first preached, when Jesus died and rose again, and Peter brought home to people the dreadful act that they had done in crucifying Jesus, effectively says, give place to this man. And later on he says that there's no other name under heaven given amongst men by which we must be saved, only the name of Jesus. You read through the Acts and you find how the gospel spread. What was Paul preaching about when he went throughout Europe and Asia Minor and other areas preaching the gospel? He was preaching about Jesus. He was telling people, whether they were Jews or whether they were non-Jews, Gentiles, give place to this man. And so I'd like to speak about a few people who had to give place to Jesus. And I want, first of all, to speak about Satan. Because Jesus came here And he uses a very interesting illustration in the Gospels about the strong man. When the strong man has got a lot of important goods, wealthy goods, precious goods in his house, and he keeps watch and to protect them. But then he says, if a stronger than he comes, what does he do? He binds a strong man and he plunders his goods. And that's what Jesus did when he was here. He came into this world and he bound the strong man. The strong man was the devil. And the strong man attacked Jesus as he began his public ministry. I know the devil attacked him before then because he tried to get him killed through the activities of Satan. But when Jesus began his public ministry, he bound the strong man. The devil came and tried to tempt Jesus. And Jesus very strikingly quoted from the book of Deuteronomy to defeat the temptations of Satan. He bound the strong man and the devil had to leave him for a season. I know he came back again, but he left Jesus. The ruler of the world came and he found no point of entry in Jesus. But what Jesus proceeded to do throughout his life here on earth was not only to bind the strong man, but to plunder his goods. And really that man that was healed by Jesus in the early part of Luke chapter 14, it was like plundering the goods of Satan. One point in Luke's gospel, you know, Jesus healed a woman. She'd been bound for 18 years, bent together, couldn't raise herself up. But Jesus plundered the goods of Satan. And he says, whom Satan has bound these 18 years, Jesus set her free. That's the kind of man Jesus is. He came here to bind the strong man and to plunder his goods. Wonderful to read through the Gospels and take account of Jesus and so many different people that he plundered the goods of the devil and set them free so that they could glorify God. And other people could see it as well and glorify God as well. So let's think of a few people who gave place to this man. I think, first of all, about the two thieves that were on the cross. There were two others crucified with Jesus, as we well know. And initially, it looked as if both were cursing and swearing and saying bad things about Jesus. They were suffering too. Perhaps you couldn't blame them, swearing and cursing when they were feeling so awful themselves, just about to die. But one man spoke about Jesus, one of the two thieves, and one of them said, this man has done nothing amiss. That doesn't apply to any of us here. It doesn't apply to anyone else in this world. But it could be said about Jesus, this man has done nothing amiss. You say, well, that's not very much to say about Jesus. A tremendous thing to say about Jesus. When people were attacking him and mocking him and reviling him and spitting on him and mocking him by putting a crown of thorns on his head and a purple robe upon him, that man on the cross says, this man has done nothing amiss. Wonderful to have a sense of that about Jesus. I would like you to have a sense of that. I'd like to get a fresh sense of it. Thank God for the Lord's Day. A day when we can exalt Christ. A day when we can make much of him. A day when we can freshly recognize that he's done nothing amiss. And he came here to put away sin by his sacrifice. And he's now seated at the right hand of God. Now that man on the cross, you know, who was dying, he got light in his soul. That's what faith is, light in his soul, that Jesus was going to come again and he was going to have a kingdom. He was going to have a kingdom. Wonderful Saviour, he's going to have a kingdom. He's going to reign. Jesus will reign where'er the Son. Wonderful to have a sense of a kingdom. I was reading this morning, I read a little bit, some types. Lamongs amongst the texts that are there in the Bible, and a little story about it. One about Queen Victoria, and gives us a concert from the Handel's Messiah was being played, and apparently at some points the monarch sits where other people stand, and she was, according to this story, she was greatly touched. Tears were in her eyes when they were singing about "He shall reign forever and ever." Wonderful to get a sense that Christ is going to reign forever and ever. Well, there's be a monarch who's living, and thank God for the Queen that was here in our country and who lived until a few years ago. She knew Christ as our Saviour. Great thing to know Christ as our Saviour. Recognise as someone greater than whoever it is. He gave place to this man. So, here we are, the thief on the cross. He came to faith in Jesus. I think about other people who gave place to this man. You think of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, I don't think we read very much about things he did wrong, except when he was in jail and he got a bit browned off and fed up. Things weren't going the way he'd hoped they would go. But he was a marvellous man, John the Baptist. He made much of Christ. In his ministry, he glorified Christ. He had a ministry to do, to prepare the way for the Lord. People come out to him, and he preached the baptism of repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of God has drawn nigh. And many people were accepted his message and were baptized. And Jesus came, and he was baptized as well. But John the Baptist, he says some amazing things about Jesus. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." You know, although John had a very outstanding ministry, and Jesus said about him, he was the greatest prophet of all, up till then. But he had a sense that Jesus was far, far greater. He wasn't worthy to untie the thongs of his sandals, but he had a sense of the greatness of Christ. "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." And then later on it says about him, when people recognize that some folk who were stopping being disciples of John and following, more people were following Jesus, he says about Jesus, "He must increase and I must decrease." He was giving way to this man, to the man Christ Jesus. How important it is throughout our lives to give way to Jesus Christ. I think of other people who gave way to Jesus. I think of Nicodemus. Nicodemus obviously heard about Jesus. He came to him by night. He came to Jesus. Good thing to come to Jesus. Day and night. You know, Jesus is available day and night to every one of us. Whatever trials and difficulties we go through, we can go to him any time. And Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and he made a statement which was quite true. He was come a teacher of God. Wonderful teacher. Wonderful teacher is Jesus. But Jesus said some things to him that pulled him up. He told him we had to be born again. Nicodemus couldn't make head or tail of it. But neither he could. But the message went in. It didn't go in one ear and out the other. The message stuck with Nicodemus. We don't know, we know a number of things that Jesus said in that lovely passage in John's Gospel, chapter 3. He spoke about how the Son of Man had to be lifted up. He spoke about how God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus told these wonderful things. And you just wonder, did it have any impression at all upon Nicodemus? But he remembered. He remembered. And we read later on in John's Gospel, we read about one of the council meetings, because Nicodemus was in the Jewish Sanhedrin. And he didn't agree with some things that were being said. And he stuck up for Jesus. That's a good thing to do. Stand up for Jesus. He wasn't a soldier of the cross then, but he was standing up for Jesus even in that council. But then we read read so beautifully, when Jesus died and was crucified and had shed his precious blood for you and me and had endured the forsaking of God for you and me. But when Jesus died, Nicodemus was one of those who came with Joseph of Arimathea. He provided lots of spices, linen cloth, bound up the body of Jesus with loving hands. He came out publicly as a follower of Jesus. What had happened with him? He had given place to that man in his life. Tremendous day when anybody gives place to the Lord Jesus Christ. We read too, of course, in John's Gospel about the woman of Samaria. She had known a lot about men. She had had five husbands. She was with a man that wasn't her husband. She knew plenty about men. But she'd come to get water to drink. She was thirsty. She'd come there to satisfy her physical needs. But she met a man she'd never met before. Wonderful to meet a man that's greater than any other man in the universe. The man Christ Jesus. The lowly man who could sit at the well at Sychar. But the man who's now crowned at the right hand of God, having accomplished redemption at the cross at Calvary. But she met that man, and she went away from that well, leaving a water pot. Why? She was filled and thrilled with the man she had met. She had given place to Christ, and she could say, "Come see a man who told me all things I had ever done. Is not he the Christ?" What a wonderful person to come in contact with, to know, and to spread his fame, as we were singing about. That's what she did. She spread abroad his fame, and others listened to her and came to Jesus for all themselves. Oh, that we could be more like that. Spread the fame of Jesus so that others too might come to know him. I'll tell you about one other person and I'll stop. Plenty of other people could talk about, but gave place to this man. You know, Jesus had come to this Pharisee's house. As I say, Jesus came three times, at least, into the house of Pharisees that are recorded in the Gospels, and the Pharisees did not show up very well, I have to say. But Jesus showed up well. But there was a man who was a Pharisee who did get converted. And his name was Saul of Tarsus. I'm not saying he knew Jesus when he was here. There's no record to say that he did. But Jesus spoke to him. He spoke to a Pharisee. Pharisee had no time for Jesus. I think of what he was doing. He was systematically trying to efface the name of Jesus from this earth. And he was good at it. He was a zealous man. He was smart. He used his talents, as it were, and his zeal and his knowledge of the Bible to try and persecute people who loved Jesus. But he gave way to that man, the man Christ Jesus, the man who healed that man, that dropsical man that's recorded in Luke 15, touched the heart of Saul of Tarsus. He said to Saul, "It's hard for you to kick against the goads." Paul had been kicking against something. You don't know what's going on in anybody's life, do you? You don't know people who seem to be opposed to Christianity, have no interest in Jesus. Just remember, there might be some goads pricked into their hearts. And those are goads. I'm sure the death of Stephen was a tremendous goad that went into Saul of Tarsus and must have upset his conscience, even although he continued in his dreadful activities against Christians. But Jesus spoke to him. He spoke to him. He spoke to him tenderly. He didn't speak to him roughly. He said, "Why are you persecuting me?" When Paul was persecuting Christians, he was persecuting Christ. Be careful what you say about any believer. Let me be careful too. Every believer is precious to Christ. They form part of his one body. But Jesus spoke to Saul of Tarsus and changed him. He gave way to Christ. And what did he say when he wrote many years later in one of his letters? "For me to live is Christ." Think of that. "For me to live is Christ." once upon a time, for Paul to live was against Christ. But when he writes in that jail in Philippi, in Rome, he says, for me to live is Christ. Wonderful how the Saviour can capture our hearts. Mm. He wants to capture your heart and my heart. And some of us here have been Christians many, many years. But you know, we freshly need the Lord Jesus, day by day and week by week, to freshly capture our hearts. So we give way to this man. Christ has been raised from among the dead. Firstborn of those, firstborn of all creation. Firstborn from among the dead. How great is Christ? How great is his name? May we seek to glorify him more in our lives until he come for us, and we'll be glorifying him in heaven. Mm. May the Lord bless us all, yeah, for his name's sake.